This is the Friday, April 19, 2024 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Attacks between Iran and Israel have upended many markets, while Argentina appears to be the biggest influence in commodities. For the week, the nearby wheat contract lost 6 cents, and the May corn contract shed 2 cents. South American harvest kept pressure on the soy complex. The May soybean contract fell 24 cents, while May meal cut 70 cents per ton. May cotton shrank by 393 per hundredweight. Over the dairy parlor, May Class 3 milk futures added $1.37. The livestock market was higher. June cattle improved 420. May feeders put on 780. And the May lean hog contract gained 235. In the currency markets, U.S. dollar index increased 21 ticks. May crude oil lost $2.91 per barrel. COMEX gold rose $36.20 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index was down 15 points to settle at $588.90. Joining us now, regular market analyst Chris Robinson. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
This Iran-Israel, had a couple of questions, had a couple of texts today about this, wanting me to ask this. First blush, you look at the wheat market and think, oh, and crude. But it's more than that, isn't it? Influence on the commodities?
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to hedge or predict an event like that, how it will be felt around the world. Obviously, the two easiest ones to look at were crude oil, but also the stock market. People don't like, you know, that type of big uncertainty. And you also see moves in the bond market because if people get, it's called flight to quality. You don't want to own stocks, you want to own bonds. So it is a very quick reset. And you saw that last night. I was driving out here last night and when it all happened, and I pulled over to the side of the road for a while because I was getting some phone calls. But fortunately, things have calmed down, and that was a good way to end the week.
Volatility was the story of the last 2 years. We seem to have had less. We're more range bound. Let's look at wheat specifically. We're kind of flirting with that 50-day moving average, and we can't seem to break any way out of that. Is there any reason to think volatility is coming back to wheat?
To wheat, no. Wheat has been, you know, just in a 2-year decline every time that we've had a fundamental story, and we've had plenty of them with all the issues in Ukraine. It's pretty well documented that we've got very low stocks. There's other countries in the world that have low stocks. We just got done with the supply and demand. That data is all out there. The problem is there's still a lot of grain that's come out of the Ukraine. In fact, there's been a lot of stories about that. A lot of the Western European farmers are not happy about all the grain that's been coming out of the Ukraine. So it's put pressure on wheat. And we've been in a 2-year decline. We look like we might be trying to turn the corner, but we've had a lot of false starts in the last year and a half. And I think, you know, a lot is going to depend on what happens with the corn crop this year as to, you know, what happens with wheat. I think if anything is going to turn wheat around, it's going to be an issue with corn.
We've had that, though, where there's been some weeks where one, it's like it's the in vogue thing to say, and then it's not. So tell me why these two are going to be paired moving forward.
Well, we're heading into the growing season. There was no issue with the wheat growing season so far. We'll see what happens when it actually gets harvested. But these markets need a story because we're just in a situation where there isn't, whether or not you believe it or not, or whether or not you agree with it or not, the market's telling you that everything's oversupplied. And I know price is what matters. And when you look at the price decline that we've had in the grains in the last 2 years, that's been the number one issue. Also, the demand has pulled back. There were some stories out today where, you know, China's actually importing less than they have in the last 4 years in some certain categories. So we had a demand-driven market. We had an inflation-driven market. Those two kind of dual flames have gone away.
You could argue that's the China less interest in buying is what's influencing the stories we just saw about trade. But I want to get to corn for a minute because there was some bullish news that came from the administration today on Friday as we record about E15. Is that a long-term bump for corn?
Well, if you dig, I mean, initially, it was a good. It's a good thing, and it may have already been baked in. If you dig deeper into the story, they've done it for the past 2 years. They're just extending the time now into the summer. But like everything else, every little bit helps. It helps our demand. It will continue to be a support for corn demand. I mean, it still takes a third of our crop. A lot of people, you know, forget about that. We grow 15 billion bushel crop, 5 billion of it goes to ethanol. And any increased demand is supportive, especially when you've got corn sitting here at, you know, call it a 3-year low, 31-month low, depending. But I mean, that's really the issue. And we're going to have to watch how that comes out here in the next 3-4 months.
Let's talk that front month real quick before we get to the December contract. When you look at the near term, when we're trading in that 50-day moving average, but again, on the lower side of things, any reason farmers should pry open the bin door and sell some of that?
Well, we had a little bump on the acres report, and it didn't last. It looked like we were going to turn the corner on that. We had a nice, you know, 20-25 cent rally. Every time we've had a rally like that, it has not had any legs. So I've remained in the camp that I think it's an SOS market. You want to sell on strength. I'd much rather sell and do a 25 or 30 cent rally than wait and sell it as we make new lows. Everybody's got a different approach, but I really do not like to sell in new lows. But I've told you this before. When I was down in Houston at the Commodity Classic, a lot of people were in a situation where their bankers were saying, hey, you may have to sell some of the grain you're sitting on. If you have to sell it, sell it. Bite the bullet. Get it done. But boy, what the situation is right now, you could go out and re-own that corn for pennies on the month out through June, July. If we have a market, at least you'll get compensated. So I would highly recommend that. If somebody feels like they have to sell corn, not because they don't want to, but you better re-own it.
Real quick on that December contract, we saw some harvest get started, or some planting get started, and then it rained. Is rain going to put a damper on that December contract?
Well, if you're a bull, you want to hope for, but are we having, you know, big planting delays? No. I think if you look at the bigger patterns, the crop's probably going to get in, and we'll have to just deal with it as it happens.
Let's go to beans. We did finally get a small bounce off the monthly lows as we look at that South American harvest. Again, though, that's a heck of a lot of crop coming into the world market. Any chance on this May contract we can reverse course?
Well, we tried again today. Again, that's the 50-day moving average. I write about this every day in the letter. You know, we need to get over that 50-day moving average. It's such a silly thing, but it gives the financial community a reason to stay short, because everybody knows they're bet short. They are just following the trend. It's not nefarious. They're just, the market's moving lower. They're moving with the market as it goes lower. If the market turns, they will gladly cover all those shorts. And that's your bullish thesis. We've got to get something to get these guys to cover their shorts, and that'll be the start.
Okay, that's the technical side of things. Let's talk fundamental for a moment. Jim in Illinois asked us on Facebook, thank you for the question, is there any fundamental out there on the horizon that could rally this corn and bean market?
On the horizon, fundamentally, we're coming off of pretty tepid exports, not terrible, but tepid. We're kind of on pace. I think if that market was to wake up, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn, that would be something that I think would catch people's attention. What's hurting that is the rise in the U.S. dollar. The dollar's just bumped up. It had been drifting lower. It bumped up with the concerns about inflation. So that's something that's going to be, we're going to have to overcome. But yeah, if there's a demand story out there, that will probably raise its head sometime in the next, 2 to 3 months.
In cattle, you wrote this week, we've had 4 years of puts versus hedges. Which one is one?
Puts. I mean, go look at the pandemic lows for I call it fat cattle, for live cattle and feeder cattle both. We've been, up and to the right, and that is the perfect market for someone to have used puts. Yes, if you have a hedging account, you really don't want to lose money in it, right? But if you're doing things right, you want to lose money in your hedge. You want to make money in the cash market. So anybody that used futures over the last 4 years, you left so much money on the table, it's not even funny, because unless you were psychic, which nobody is, every time you sold futures, you capped your profits. If you had a put, you pay for the put, the price keeps going higher, you lose value in the put, but you make the money in the cash market, which is what we're here to do.
Do you see that trend continuing?
We had a cattle on feed today.
Yeah.
It came out and it was a little bit bearish for the front months, probably a little bit supportive, especially out if you look at the numbers out into the fourth quarter. My guess is Monday will open higher. It just depends on how we settle. But that market continues to be a nice bull market. The problem is we've had these nasty corrections, which have caught a lot of people off guard. But if you look at the big picture, which I always tell guys to do, we're still on an upward trajectory when you look at those weekly and monthly charts.
On feed, 101, placed on feed, 88, and then fed marketed, 86. Let's get to hogs for a minute. You wrote a little bit about the technical trade for hogs. You don't see fundamentals playing as much of a factor there?
No, fundamentals, it's been a good, really a gift for producers because we bottomed out in December. Then we started hearing stories about, certainly the Chinese cut the size of their herd. If you look at other countries around the world, they have a smaller herd than what they probably want to have. So it's benefited the U.S. And you've seen it in the prices. We had a tremendous, a 20-cent rally from December to March. The problem is then we get these corrections, these nasty corrections where we lose what takes 4 months, we lose 40% of it in 3 days. And then everybody does what they probably shouldn't do, that and they sell into the break, right? But again, all these markets have been really case studies for why if you're a producer and if you want to hedge, some people don't want to hedge. If you want to hedge, don't hedge. But if you want to hedge, the put has been your best friend because it's let you stay long with the floor so that when we have these corrections, you don't feel like, oh boy, I have to make a bad decision down here. So I still think that the cattle herd is too small. That's a big long-term story that's not going to go away tomorrow. And we've continued to have really good demand for our hogs.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Chris Robinson. We are going to pause our analysis and continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment. You can find both analysis and plus on our website at markettomarket.org. As Plant 24 rolls on, Prime Instagram season is here. We will post some of our own images and share your best work on our feed of at Market to Market Show. Follow along today. Next week, incentivizing farmers to protect a natural resource. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.